Okay, good morning everyone. We are once again continuing the series of the life and Torah of our leaders. And again, I thank Rabbi Greenspan and First Seder, this Medrash, for giving me this opportunity. Today I want to talk about a Gadol who is very unknown, and some of the people watching or listening may have wondered why I chose this particular Gadol, and I will explain as follows. First of all, the name of the Gadol is Harav Yechiel Michal Minemerov. Yechiel Michal from the city Nemerov. And the context of this Gadol is very important in Jewish history because it's part of the bigger picture of the terrible atrocities that we suffered in what was known as Tach V'Tat, the year 1648 and 1649. The Cossacks, Khmelnytsky and his group of Cossacks who destroyed Klal Yisrael in a very, very terrible way, as we'll talk about in a moment. So, the name Rabbi Yechiel Michal of Nemerov comes up and came up a few times in my travel, so to speak, in this Tkufa, in this time period of Tach V'Tat. And I thought that it's important for me to go through and see exactly who he was and be able to share a little bit about him, again, in the greater context of Tach V'Tat, which is very important for tomorrow. Because tomorrow is Chaf Sivan, the 20th day of Sivan. And the 20th day of Sivan, it's brought down in Magen Avram and in the Taz, and in the Mishneh Berurah, is a fast day. It's a fast day, the Mishneh Berurah says, in the entire country and kingdom of Poland. It was enacted as a fast day for numerous reasons, as we will see. And the Taz and the Magen Avraham, like I said, bring this down. The Taz lost, I think, two of his sons in Tach V'Tat. The Magen Avraham's parents were killed in Tach V'Tat. So this was something that was not only on a Klal Yisrael level for them, it was a personal thing as well. Now, this is not a shiur about Chaf Sivan, if I can make a pitch for myself, but I gave a shiur last year, Chaf Sivan, last year, and on my website, RabbiDavidAGross.com, www.RabbiDavidAGross.com, and I could send Rabbi Greenspan the link after the shiur. If you search for Chaf Sivan, C-H-O-F, Chaf and Sivan, there's about a 40-45 minute shiur which goes through in detail this fast day called Chaf Sivan that is brought down in Halacha, which for the most part I think most people are not very aware of. Now many people, the people who are aware of Chaf Sivan, many of them think it has to do with the Crusades, and it's a mistake, because the Crusades are commemorated actually during Sfira. As many of you know, we always say Avarachamim during Sfira. Avarachamim on Shabbos was composed for those cities that were killed during the Crusades, and that's why it's specifically said during Sfira, even on Shabbos Mevarchim, even if there's a bris, even during Nisan, even, it didn't happen this year, but last year, there was a Shabbos in Sivan before Shavuos, and it's brought down, you say Avarachamim, even though it's the Shloishes Yimei Hagbalah, because in fact, during Iyar and the beginning of Sivan was the time of the Crusades. The city of Worms, Vermaisa, we have a kina about it on Tisha B'Av. The city of Mainz, Magensia, the city of Spire, Shpira. These cities were destroyed during the end of Iyar, the beginning of Sivan, and are commemorated through the saying of Avarachamim, which we say every Shabbos, but there were communities during history that only said it during Sfira. There were actually some communities that only said it on the first Shabbos in Sivan, because that's when there was terrible atrocities that happened during the Crusades. So Chaf Sivan wasn't specific to the Crusades. The original fast day of Chaf Sivan had to do with a blood libel in the year 1171 in the city in France called, in, I would say, if I was a phonetic person, Blois, B-L-O-I-S. And I'm sure in French it's Blois or Blau or something like that. Bly, Blow. But the truth is that in the recollections of Rishonim who lived at that time, in Hebrew it's actually written with a samach at the end, Blois. It is pronounced that way. So I can't tell you the difference between the Hebrew and the French pronunciation. So either way you say it, it's probably okay. But there was a blood libel. That was the beginning of the world of blood libels in the 1100s. And there was a blood libel in that city, and 36 or 40 Jews were burnt and killed. And it was chronicled by one of the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam. And in fact, Rabbeinu Tam got so sick from the story, he was actually nifter 2 weeks later. But Rabbeinu Tam enacted for the Jews of Germany and France that Chaf Sivan should be a fast day for those 40 Jews who were killed. It's an unbelievable thing, make an entire fast day for 40 Jews who were killed in a blood libel. But that's what Rabbeinu Tam did. And it was actually, so that was in the year 1171, and there's slichas to be said. Slichas to be said, composed by the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and his Talmidim, to be said on Chaf Sivan. So it's a very interesting thing, the value of Jewish life. At that time, for 40 Jews, they made an entire national fast day, Chaf Sivan, with slichas that are said, L'zecher Nishmas, those people who were killed. So that was the first time Chaf Sivan came onto our radar screen. The next time Chaf Sivan, and that's we're getting towards our story and to our Gadol, was in the year 1648, known, and 1649, known as Tach V'Tat. So in the city of Nemirov is a city in the Ukraine, and it's about, just to put things, if anyone knows anything about the Ukraine, which I personally don't, I was never there, and it's not on my bucket list to go. It's a little, seems to me not to be the safest of places to be. But it's between the city of Uman and Bardichev, about 3.5 hours from Kiev, main central Ukraine. And the city of Nemirov was a Ir Ve'em B'Yisrael. And in that city there was the Av Bezdin and the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva, was someone named Harav Yechiel Michel ben Harav Eliezer. He was a descendant of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he had yichus all the way back to David HaMelech. And there are two chronicles, main chronicles, of the atrocities of Tach V'Tat. One was written by the Shach, and one was written by someone else, and it's called the Yevein Metzula. Yevein Metzula, that was written by Reb Nosson Nata Hanover. He called it Yevein Metzula. The Shach called his chronicles the Megillas Eifa. And in there, when describing Reb Chiel Michel, so the Yevein Metzula says, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula Bal Peh. He knew in the entire Torah Bal Peh. He was a baki b'chol chachmai sheba'olam, and he was an expert in all chachmas that there are in the world. His nephew, who wrote the preface to his sefer, Rabbi Chiel Michel, wrote a sefer called Shivrei Luchais, and we'll get to that a little later in the shir. But his nephew writes that I was a young child, I was only 9 years old when I was in my uncle's house, so I wasn't able to really be oimed to understand what a great chacham he was. However, I was able to see Yir Asai, his fear of Hashem, and his humility. He was an un of gadol. He was an unbelievable, humble person. B'tachlis ho'anava, to the epitome of what humble means. And he would honor all people. Mechabe l'chol adam. He would honor all people. Ubiprat loim de Torah. And especially people who learn Torah. Mechabdan yoyser mikvoidai. He would honor them even more than his own honor. And he writes, Lohiniach acharov kamoisai. He didn't leave anyone like him, after he was killed, as we'll see. He didn't leave anyone over like him. So that's who this Rabbi Chiel Michel from Nemrov was. He was from the Gedalei Hadar. The Tosfos Yomtiv, and I'll tell you how I got to this Tkufa. Like I mentioned last week, I made a few trips to Europe over the last 4 summers. And 3 years ago, we were in Poland. We were in many, many places. But we were in the city of Krakow. And the city of Krakow is the resting place of the Tosfos Yomtiv. The Tosfos Yomtiv lived through Tach V'Tat. He was Nifter in 1654, I think. So he was already older by the time 1648 came around. And Nifter a little bit afterwards. So there's the famous Misha Beirach from the Tosfos Yomtiv that everyone knows for not talking during davening that he enacted in Krakow in the times of Tach V'Tat. That's a whole shir unto itself. He wasn't really the composer of that Misha Beirach. It was composed much earlier Pashtos by the Maral. And that's a whole different story, but he's famous for enacting it during the Gzeirah of Tach V'Tat, that Misha Beirach. So that's the first time I encountered Gedolim from that Kufa. The next year, we were in Czech and Slovakia, the Czech Republic and Slovakia, and over there I was in the city of Holešov in the Czech Republic. Holešov is the resting place of the Shach, Reb Shabsi Koyen, the Shach on Shulchan Aruch, Yaradeya, Choyshe Mishpat. And the Shach's life, he was nifter very young, I think in his late 40s, maybe early 50s, the Shach. So he was about 25 years old. I think he was born in 1621. So 1648, he was 27 years old. But a lot of the Shach's life, he was running from the Cossacks, Tach V'Tat. He from Vilna and Lublin. He was all over the place, the Shach. And that's where I sort of got into this Tkufa of Tach V'Tat. And I came across, like we said, this Rabbi Chiel Michel of Nemrov. There's, in fact, the Shach in Choyshe Mishpat, Simen Hay, I think it is. The Shach actually writes that, he quotes a Sefer and he says, I don't have the Sefer here, I'm writing it by heart because I'm running away from the Cossacks. He was Pashat writing the Shach as he was running away in Tach V'Tat from the Cossacks. So this is how I got into it. The Tosfos Yomtiv had a son actually who learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Chiel Michel of Nemrov, and during the Tach V'Tat, the Tosfos Yomtiv's son was actually kidnapped and captured, and I think taken to Turkey, and he was held there for a while till he was released. And he had also a very interesting story. He ended up somewhere, I forgot which city. And the first Shabbos after he was released, and he got an aliyah, and they wanted him to make a Misha Beirach for Shabbosai Tzvi, even though it was after the times of Shabbosai Tzvi, but there were still pockets of Shabbosai Tzvi, and he refused to make a Misha Beirach, and somehow there was a fight ensued, and a big chandelier fell on his head and killed him. And he died from that. So, but Nagat, to our story, the Tosfos Yomtiv had a son who was a Talmud of Rabbi Chiel Michel of Nemrov. I think they called him Rabbi Shmuel of Nemrov, the Tosfos Yomtiv's son. So, he was from the Gedolei Yisrael. Now, what happened in 1648 in Tach Chelmanitsky was this, charismatic Russia, anti-Semite, Cossack leader in the Ukraine, which at that time was part of the Great Kingdom of Poland, and he led a rebellion of the Ukrainians against the Polish nobility, the Polish overlords. And there was nationalistic reasons for this, there was economic reasons for this, and of course the religious reasons as well. The Ukrainians were Greek Orthodox, the Poles were Roman Catholic, and Chmielnitsky led this revolution. And you can't go into all the politics of who were his allies, numerous allies, but eventually his stated goal was to wipe out the Polish nobility and to wipe out the Jews. That was his two things. And they went out throughout Ukraine killing. According to many counts, he killed 2 million Jews. From before the Holocaust, this was the greatest destruction of Klal Yisrael since Churban HaBayis, even more than the Crusades. 2 million Jews, if you think about it, it's astonishing. 2 million Jews in 2 years. You know, the Nazis killed 6 million, but they used gas chambers, they used guns, they used mass graves, they used all type of mass killing. These were people in the 1600s, they were using swords and machetes and things like that. And they killed 2 million Jews in 2 years. And the cruelty, some say it was in ways even more cruel than the Nazis were. Terrible, terrible, crazy, disgusting. Either the Nazis learned from him, or he was even worse than the Nazis. Terrible, terrible things that he did to men, women, and children, and all of his chevra, the Cossacks. What they did was unbelievable. So, like I said, like before. Before the Holocaust, this was the biggest destruction of Jews in Europe in a very, very long time. 2 million Jews. Now, just it's interesting to note that Ad Hayom Hazeh Khmelnytsky in Ukraine is a national hero. There's monuments to him. He's like the George Washington of the Ukraine. He's a national hero, even though the person was a cruel, cruel, cruel person and the atrocities that he did. But in Ukraine, he's still considered he's there like their George Washington. He's a hero because he was able to bring independence to the Ukraine. So now the first city that the Cossacks, the first big city as they started their trek into Poland, into the main part of Poland, the first city that they hit was the city of Nemirov. And many of the Jews in the surrounding areas had already run to Nemirov to try to escape from them. Nemirov was a fortified city. And they knew, the Cossacks knew they couldn't get into Nemirov so quickly, so they made a plan. They pretended to be the Polish. They had Polish flags and stuff so that they would open the gates. They had sent a message to the Goyim in Nemirov of their plan and have them open the gates for them. The Jews thought the Poles are coming to protect them. They opened the doors and they went on a 3-day killing spree of 6,000 Kedoshim, the Lashon of the Shach is Kedoshim, Goinim, Rabbonim, Chachomim, Nevoinim, Zekenim, Besulois, Chasanim, Kalois, Taf, Vinoshim, killed out 6,000 people in 3 days. Now the Shabbos before this happened, Rabbi Chiel Michel, the Rav of the city, had given a drasha and told his people that if they come and they're given a choice, give up their name, give up their lives, al kiddush Hashem, or to convert, I don't know if it was an option or not, they should give up their lives, al kiddush Hashem, and taka, that's what happened, they all gave up their lives, al kiddush Hashem. He himself, many of them were drowned, actually, al kiddush Hashem as well. He himself, Rabbi Chiel Michel, had jumped into the water to try to save himself, and a guy chapped him, he grabbed him, and wanted to kill him. And Rabbi Chiel Michel told him, listen, if you don't kill me, I'll show you where all the gold and silver is, and you could take it for yourself. And he brought him, he gave him the gold and the silver, and he let him go free. And Rabbi Chiel Michel stayed hid in a house until the morning. Now, according to this version, he wasn't killed on Chaf Sivan, he was actually killed on Chaf Bei Sivan. The next morning on Chaf Bei Sivan, they were searching through the homes, so he ran to the Beis HaKvaris of the city, Rabbi Chiel Michel, and he figured if he gets killed there, at least he's in the cemetery, someone will bury him a Kvuras Yisrael. And he was there together with his mother. And while he was there, a local, it wasn't even one of the Cossacks, a local of Nemirov, who was a shoemaker actually, came with a big stick and started beating him to death. And his mother begged him and said, please kill me instead and let my son go. And he didn't listen to her. And he killed Rabbi Chiel Michel right there in the Beis HaKvaris, and then he killed his mother, Hashem Yikaim Damam. And after the Cossacks left of 3 days of killing, the wife of Rabbi Chiel Michel went into the Beis HaKvaris and actually brought him to Kever Yisrael. The Shach, as we said, was 20-some years old at the time, and he wrote a kina. And this is where you see the godliness of Rabbi Chiel Michel, because he's highlighted amongst those who were killed by Intach V'tat. He's highlighted by the Shach, who wrote a special kina, eulogizing and crying over Rabbi Chiel Michel. The Pischei Tshuva from Shulchan Aruch also wrote about Rabbi Chiel Michel, and he wrote, he was Mu'utra Mufur B'chal Chachma, he was crowned and he was glorified with all the Chachmas in the world, and he was Muflug B'chasidus V'yirashamayim Sheshokol Harigosai Kineged Kulam. He says his death was almost equal to all the rest who were killed. I don't know if it means in the city, in all of Tach V'tat, but he's writing that he is like his death was Shokol Keneged Kulam. And he was, says the Pischei Tshuva, Roish, he was the first Gadol, the first Tzaddik who was killed in the years of Tach V'tat. And that is why his name comes up so much, is because Nemirov was the first city, and Rabbi Chiel Michel was the first Gadol who was killed. Like we mentioned before, the two sons of the Taz were killed, the parents of the Magen Avraham were killed, Rabbi Chiel Michel, Rabbi Shimshon from Me'as Shapoli, a very famous Mekubal, Rabbi Shimshon Me'as Shapoli was also killed during Tach V'tat. Amongst, as we said, 2 million of Klal Yisrael were killed during Tach V'tat. So there's a special Kel Molei Rachamim, and this is why, again, and I'm highlighting this all because it's so interesting if you know the history. In the Slichas for Chaf Sivan, as we'll talk about the Slichas in a moment, at the end of the Slichas, this is brought in the Siddur Oitzer HaTfilas and in the Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, the Siddur Yavitz, there's a special Kel Molei Rachamim to say for Chaf Sivan. It actually is a very long Kel Molei Rachamim, not like the regular ones that we say. It actually has a stanza for each of the Aleph Beis, Aleph through Tav. And it's specifically a Kel Molei Rachamim for Hagoyin Rabbi Chiel Michel of Nemirov, Shenera Gal Kiddush Hashem Bishnas Tach. It's a Kel Molei Rachamim just for him. So although all the Slichas are for Chaf Sivan and for all of Tach V'tat, there's a Kel Molei Rachamim to say for him, the Zion is where you get to his name. It says, Zohir V'zoriz B'mitzvahis Ha'oluf Hagoyin Harav Merein Rav Yechiel. So a special Kel Molei Rachamim for him. And so that's again, you see who he was, this Rabbi Chiel Michel from Nemirov. The Shach writes in his memoirs here, in Megillah Seifa, he writes that he made for himself and for his family, Lidoiros, that Chaf Sivan should be a fast day, because this was the first day of the Tzaras. And the Shach actually writes interesting thing. He says, it seems Chaf Sivan is not a good day. It's a day mesugal for Paranias. And he says, the reason I set aside Chaf Sivan is, number one, because it was the beginning of the Tzaras. And number two, in 1171 was also a blood libel on Chaf Sivan. So you see that it's not a good day, and it's a day of Tzaras, and we should do tshuva and fast on this day. It also, says the Shach, it's a day that never falls out on Shabbos. Chaf Sivan never falls out on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry about fasting on Shabbos. Again, back to the Chaf Sivan, in 1650, the Vad Arba Haratzis, which was the Jewish body of governing of all of the land of Poland, of the Kingdom of Poland, they got together and they made the day of Chaf Sivan a national day of fasting and slichais for all of Medinas Poland, because of Tach V'Tat, and the Slichas they chose, it's very interesting, the Slichas are actually the Slichas from 1171. Most of the Slichas are not Tach V'Tat Slichas, even though the Shach wrote Slichas and the Taisus Yontif wrote, but the most of the Slichas are from the 1171. They chose the Slichas of the Rishonim to show that this was like a double day, a day not only to commemorate Tach V'Tat, but to commemorate as well 1171. So now, let's talk a little bit about Rabbi Chiel Michel and his Torah. Rabbi Greenspan clearly told me that you have to be able to make a Birchas HaTorah on these Shiurim. It shouldn't just be history. So we have to talk a little bit about his Torah. Now, first of all, it's interesting. Rabbi Chiel Michel is actually mentioned in the Pri Megadim. In Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Yud Aleph, Pri Megadim Sif Katan Yud Beis, over there, he quotes, the Pri Megadim quotes the Sefer Nachalas Tzvi, who says a pshat in the halacha there, and he quotes it b'shem, Hagoyin HaKadosh Rabbi Chiel Michel Av Bezdin Dekak Nemerov, who was Nerag B'shnas Tach Al Yedei HaRishoyim. There's different Lashoynas, different, the Nachalas Tzvi has it one way, the Lashon of the Pri Megadim, if I could see it here, he writes, Michiel Michel Shenerag B'Avinisenu HaRabim B'shnas Tach La'elef Hashishi. So that's, it seems, the one place in Halacha that Rabbi Chiel Michel is actually quoted Le'Halacha. Now, he wrote a sefer called Shivrei Luchas Al HaTaira. His nephew published the sefer. We quoted the nephew before. And the nephew says that sometime during the whole uprising of Tach V'Tat, or somewhere along the line, someone stole the manuscript of the sefer and stole about 150 pages from it, and just, they were left over some shirayim. And somehow, Ayyadei Nais, he writes, some interesting way, the nephew got the leftovers of the sefer, the manuscript, and there's talk only about five or six parshias. A lot of it is al-pi Kabbalah. He has actually has on parshas Baal Oischa. It's interesting, two or three pieces on parshas Baal Oischa. And but the nephew says that most of the sefer was stolen. I got the rest of it, and he printed it, and he writes, L'chein roi, therefore it's befitting, for any Bali Torah of Yerushamayim, liknoi zeh ha-sefer, to learn it, to buy it and learn it, it should be l'kavei nishmasei ha-kadosha, for the neshama of Rabbi Chiel Michel, who didn't really leave over a lot, and he was killed al-kiddush Hashem. So everyone should, he writes in the preface, everybody should buy the sefer to be able to learn it. It should be a schus for his neshama. Now I want to say a very interesting thing. His nephew, in his hakdama to the sefer and to the preface, he has an arichus, and this is the nephew's shtickel taira, the nephew's dvar taira, and he talks about the concept, he brings a zayar HaKadosh, that brings down that the reason why we're in Galus and we have so many tzaris is from the tears of Esav that he cried when Yaakov took the brachas from him. And the Zayar says, until we are able to eliminate Esav's tears through our own tears, we're always going to suffer. And therefore the Zayar implores Klal Yisrael to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cry to him before the tzara comes, before any tzara comes, in order that we shouldn't have the tzaras. And he writes that he darshaned and he said that if Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael doesn't want to go to shul and cry before a tzara, they're going to end up crying from a tzara. And he said he thinks that's why Klal Yisrael had been punished and Talmidei Chachamim were punished in the years of Tach V'Tat, because they didn't implore Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, and because we didn't cry to do tshuva and have the geula, unfortunately we suffered from Tach V'Tat. Now that's a very, very bold and strong statement to be able to make, to say that the reason we suffered so much, like I said, 2 million people in Klal Yisrael were killed for that reason, and so many Gedolim and Tzaddikim. But this is what the nephew said. And the nephew writes that one Purim, he had his Suda in the morning, and he went to sleep, and he had a dream, and his uncle Rabbi Chiyo Michel came to him. And his uncle came to him, and he says his uncle was crying, and he had tears on his face and on his beard, and he told me that what I said was right, that it was emes, what I said, that Bava Niseinu Harabim, because Klal Yisrael didn't go to the Beis HaKnesses and do tshuva through tears. Unfortunately, they suffered so many tears because of that in Tach V'Tat. So even though it was such a bold statement, his uncle Rabbi Chiyo Michel came to him from Shamayim and told him that it's Taka Emes. It's Taka Emes, which, you know, if this is, we have to learn from our history, if that's what tomorrow Chaf Sivan represents, we don't, most people I know don't fast on Chaf Sivan, we don't even know about it. There's a lot of Hungarian Jews, actually, they have fasts. By some of the Hasidim, by Satmar and others, they do fast, and there's another reason for it, because in Chaf Sivan, or at least in this Tkufa, most of the Hungarian Jewry in the Second World War were taken to Auschwitz in 1944. 44-45 is when they were Hungarian Jewry at the end of the war, were deported, most of them to Auschwitz, mostly in these few weeks. So Hungarian Jewry chose Chaf Sivan to commemorate their loss as well. So it's a third reason for Chaf Sivan. But most people I know aren't aware of it. But for any of you who are listening to the Shir, watching the Shir, you know, Klal Yisrael is now in a very precarious situation. We're in Galus. It's a dangerous time for Klal Yisrael. And if we're hearing that we have to do tshuva, mitoich habechi, that's what happened in those days. Tomorrow's a day to think about it, whether you say slichas or not. It's to think about the geula, think about doing tshuva, think about begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Sefer Shivrei Luchas, like I said, was a Sefer on Chumash, but he wrote another Sefer, and the Sefer is called Al Tikri. Al Tikri goes through numerous places, it's a pretty big Sefer actually, comparatively, numerous places in Shas where Chazal say, they bring a Pasuk or they bring a Mimer, and they say, Al Tikri, don't read it like this, read it like that. And he comes to explain, like, is it like a phonetic thing? Like, what were Chazal doing? What was their question? Very interesting thing. So I want to share with you two pieces from that Sefer Al Tikri to get a feel and a flavor for it. So in Parshas Ekev it says, "Va'atah mo Hashem shel me'imach." What does Hashem ask from you? So Chazal say Al Tikri ma. Don't read it as ma. You should read it as Me'a. What does Hashem want from you? Me'a. Me'a. 100 brachas. Hashem wants you to make 100 brachas a day. There's a takana to make 100 brachas a day. So he's bothered. What's this Ma turns into Me'a? Like, what does Chazal mean? Don't read it as Ma. Mem, hey, what? Read it as Me'a, as 100. So says Rabbi Chiyo Michel of Nemirov, Hashem Yikaim Damai, he says that we know David HaMelech in his days, there were 100 people dying, there was a plague, 100 people were dying daily. So David HaMelech made a takana to recite 100 brachas a day, and because of that, it got rid of the magefa, got rid of the plague. So he says, L'chaira, what was David HaMelech being, what was the takana of David HaMelech? We see here that Moshe Rabbeinu already said it. Vato Ma Yisrael, the Gemara is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu enacted a takana of reciting 100 brachas a day. So what did David HaMelech add to it? So the Gemara sounds like, the Pashup Shad is that people had forgotten about it, and David HaMelech revived the takana. But Rabbi Chiyo Michel of Nemrov writes like this. He says, it's true Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them. But how many brachas did they actually have in Moshe Rabbeinu's days? How many brachas existed? So he says an interesting thing. Now, each one of these things we could debate and we could talk about, but I'm just going to tell you his vart. He says the fact that there was a Shmoina Esrei, there were 18 brachas, that we know the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were mesakein in the three tefillos, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. Now, Pashtus, they weren't Mesakein Shemayna Esrei. That's the Anshei Knesset HaGdailah, like the Gemara Megillah says. But the Rabbi Chiyo Michel is saying, if they were Mesakin Tefillah, there were 18 brachas. 18 brachas times 3 tefillas a day is 54. 54 brachas. We know also that Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first bracha of benching, Hazan. When the man fell, the bracha of Hazan. So if you make a calculation of how many brachas Klal Yisrael had in Moshe Rabbeinu's days, says Rabbi Chiyo Michel, they had 55 brachas. 55 brachas. 54 a daily, I mean. 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei times 3, plus Hazan, 55 brachas daily. So now they're still missing 45 to get to 100. So therefore, says Rabbi Chiyo Michel, that's what the Gemara is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vato Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elikecha, Ma is Mem Hey is 45, is 45 brachas." Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, "We're missing 45 brachas still." So says the Gemara, "Al Tikri Ma, don't read it as Ma Elameya, because those 45 are to be added to the 55 to equal 100." So the Gemara, the Chazal, looked at the word man, they say 45, they said, don't make a mistake and think that the number is 45 brachas. Al tikri ma, elameya, it's really 100 brachas. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying, 45? Because we already have 55, so you have to be mashlim, another 45 brachas. Now, in those days, could be they made up their own brachas. You know, you want to eat an apple, you said, thank you Hashem for the apple, that was a bracha. So, but they needed to come up with 45 more brachas than they had already had by default. So that's the ma, the mem hey is the 45, says the Gemara, al tikri ma, you should know this 45, it adds up to meya, because really, the goal is to get to 100. That's the first Dvar Torah of al tikri. And the second one I wanted to share with you is also something that we say every day in davening, not every day, if Nusach Svar says every day. We say on Shabbos, Kol Hashoyna Halachis B'chol Yoyim, Muvtuch Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. Shenemar Halichos Olam Loy, Al Tikra Halichos Ela Halachos. Don't read it as Halichos, read it as Halachos. Now how do you get from Halichos to Halachos? So he says, the Chazal were bothered. The Pasuk says, Halichos Olam Loy. Halichos are the roads, the drachim. So it says, all the roads belong to Hashem. Halichos Olam Loy. So what do you mean? How could all the roads be like infused with Hashem? Most people go on the road by themselves for their own needs. They don't go for mitzvahs. The roads aren't dedicated to Hashem. Must be, what did Chazal want? Chazal wanted that a person, even on the road, should learn Torah. Even if you're on the road, you should learn Torah. And if you learn Torah on the road, you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to that road. That's how you make all the roads the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is the world of Torah. So therefore the Pasuk says, Al Tikre Halichais. Don't read it as Halichais, that all of the roads belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because many roads Hashem is not involved in, so to speak. People are doing their own things on the road. No, you want to know how you make the Halichais Olam Lai? How do you make the roads part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Al Yedei Halachais. If you learn Halachais and the Halichais, then that becomes the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you see Hashem wants you to learn Torah even on the road, for sure He wants you to learn Torah at home every single day. So that's how we know, Kol Hashoyna Halachais B'chol Yoyim. If you learn every day, you're a Ben Olam Haba, because you see Hashem wants you to learn even on the road, to make the Halichais into the Halachais. So these are some tidbits, snippets, so to speak, of this Kadosh Hagoyin Rabbi Chiyo Michel, who we don't know a lot about, and we have very little Torah from him. But we see from the Taisis Yontif and the Shach, our big Gedolim, how they cried over him, how they mourned over him, that he was such a Kadosh. And hopefully we got a little insight into what Chaf Sivan is and what Tach Vitat is and what this is all about for Klal Yisrael. And we should be Zeicher tomorrow, Chaf Sivan, that the schus of this Kaddish and all of the Kedoshim that were killed in Tach V'tat and in 1171 and all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, they should go to the Kisei HaKavod, and if we're Ma'orer their schus, and by saying over the Torah of Rabbi Chiel Michel, we give an Ilui to his neshama, as he was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, is in the highest realms of Shemayim. We should be zeicha that they should all go to the Kisei HaKavod, and we should say to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael has enough, Yoimer we should be zeichet to see the coming of Mashiach. Bimheiro v'yameinu. Amen. Have a wonderful day, everyone.